Let's begin with where we're standing right now. Tell me about this part of the building.
Okay, we are standing in the education wing, which is on the east side of the building. What's particularly impressive about this wing is that it features the very high, probably 36, 38-foot ceilings. You can see out through the magnificent glass structures to the pleats across to the campus. But what's important, really, about not only this education wing, but the whole building and where it is that we are right smack on Grand River, which, as opposed to being buried inside the campus somewhere or in some other place that is not accessible, because by our very presence, we are announcing that we are a public museum as well as a university museum. We want people to come here. We have two equal entrances in the east and the west. And as I say, we're right on the main drag. And at any given time, like right now, we're in this education wing, we are looking out on the traffic on Grand River. We're looking out on people walking by, going to get coffee, going to get the newspaper, hopping on a bus. We're very much in the middle of the life of the city. Also from the education wing, you get to look out to the very public spaces that we have here. Again, also on the east and the west are two sizable public gathering places, the Agora, if you wish, that will be, especially in nice weather, or perhaps only in nice weather, will be meeting places for people. We'll have parties there, we'll have music there, maybe some rock bands on a Friday night there. And beyond the public place that I'm talking about now, on the east side, there's also a sculpture garden that people can enjoy. For the opening, we have three sculptures that will be in place. There'll be another eight or so as we go along. We're not hurrying to fill the garden. We're taking our time with it. So from our vantage point right now, we are looking at these very, to me, magnificently high, spaciously lighted windows that allow for a really profound intimacy between what happens within the museum and the life outside the museum.
We're here on the east side of the building at 10 in the morning, and there's a tremendous amount of natural light here, especially at this time of day.
Yeah, well, we're lucky. Hopefully this weather will hold up. Here it's supposed to go into the 60s this week, which would be so great for our opening to have nice weather, because, you know, we were preparing for snow and everything else. You never know, November in Michigan. But yes, we are being flooded with light. Of course, some people ask, well, what about the art? Does that hurt the art? Well, two things. The galleries, most of them are not flooded with light, but the glass that we have is highly treated glass, fully intended to protect artwork. But why don't we move forward into
sure.
We're walking past the cafe area, I should say. You know, 70% of the building is display space. It's not devoted to auditoriums or restaurants, things that, you know, would be great to have, but it's not what we have. Our building is devoted toward display. Here we are in the main lobby. As we were mentioning, we have two equal entrances to the east and the west. And this building, I like to think, the word that encapsulates it for me is its dynamism. The slanted walls, the pleats, the glass that seems to rise to the sky, all of it announces a type of dynamic presence such that when you come into this building, you feel fully engaged physically with your body in the space. You know, when you come into a lot of museums, traditional museums, wonderful museums, you feel a certain reverence, you feel a certain sanctity even, perhaps. That's not the feeling here. The feeling here is much more of a kinetic, dynamic, to overuse that word, feeling. And there's going to be a lot going on. There's going to be moving images, still images, enormous installations, small works of art. The basic program of the museum is to present the finest in international cultural production, and also, by virtue of our inheriting the Kresge collection, 7,500 historical collection, object collection, we're able to create new dialogues, new ways of thinking about the entire history of art. Let me give you an example.
Okay,
one of
sure.
the galleries here. Well, in here in particular, we have, well, first of all, you notice this very sculptural bench to our left. Zaha Hadid has designed benches for us. There are three of them in different spaces throughout the museum. What's incredible about them is that they can also be put together to form one large bench. The contours of them snuggle into each other. But in this room, for example, we have only three artworks. It's a very spare room. There is a 14th century triptych that we've inherited from the Kresge collection. There is a 21st century triptych by British artist Damien Hirst that's made from thousands of butterflies, made to reflect stained glass windows. And then we've made this triptych of three photographs by Andy Warhol. So you have here, you've got the centuries speaking to each other, from the 14th to the 20th to the 21st, all engaging with the form of the triptych, which is it's the form of three parts in one. That's what the triptych is. It started as in early Christianity as a form for altar pieces. But artists have used this form throughout the ages. So we're showing links, relationships, creating new ways of thinking about the past and the future by virtue of this really great collection that we have, which no other contemporary museum really has. Why would they? Contemporary museums don't have art that goes back to pre-Columbian times, but we do. And now we're standing in front of this magnificent central staircase. It's a signature staircase, so-called, by Zaha Hadid, where she creates the illusion, you might say, of suspension. When you look at the staircase as it ascends upward, it feels as if you are walking into the sky. It looks as if there is nothing holding it up. Of course, there is. It's, highly manufactured, highly engineered, but there's the illusion of suspension. It's quite magnificent.
Beautiful.
And today, of course, we're speaking on a Wednesday before we open. We have our great team of workers. There's Brian Kirschensteiner, who's fixing the lights. Brian has helped lead the entire installation of all the artwork in the museum. We're down to putting on the final touches. And we're also looking at one of the galleries on the first floor, which sort of starts very wide and then becomes narrower as it gets to the end, the eastern end of the gallery. So what you have here is a very non-traditional gallery space, but the space also includes enough right angles for the hanging of artwork. So it's not a situation where all the walls are slanted and everything is curved and some of the worries that people might have had about this building. The galleries, the walls are very welcoming to art. Very, very challenging in some ways, but also very exciting. Artists, the ones we've commissioned for new works, have loved working in these spaces, as they will going forward into the future, which, speaking of the future and the past, takes us into this large atrium gallery where the ceilings are 38 feet high. We've commissioned a piece by an artist named Inigo Manglano Ovalle, he's a really great contemporary artist. He works all around the world. And what he's done here, because we're standing in this room, as I say, the ceiling height is 38 feet. This is where the western end of the building comes together. People have thought of it as a large opening of a shark's mouth, perhaps, or the other end of a spaceship. But however you want to think of it, it is the amazingly movement-oriented end of the building where the windows again and the pleats soar into the sky. And what Inigo has done is created an artwork that is suspended by cables that is a comment on Buckminster Fuller's geodesic domes. This actually is a type of geodesic dome, looking like a very, very large balloon, but it's suspended in this large atrium space. It's not on the floor. So you have a mid-20th century artist who now, is part of architectural history, engaging in a dialogue with a very, very highly regarded and now famous 21st century architect Zaha Hadid, the architect of our building. So you've got in these two moments, if you will, these magnificent windows and this geodesic dome that is resting midair against these windows, you've got this really great conversation going on about architecture. And right on the in the cable, too, there's this bird resting. It's a red bird we're looking at. Well, it's a type of bird that faces extinction. It's a type of rare canary, and is sort of looking at us. So you have here the movement of history that keeps progressing no matter what we do, and even the most modern of buildings like this will one day not be the most modern of buildings, the same way that Buckminster Fuller's work was assigned to history in time. So, again, it's this wonderful dialogue between two relatively aligned architects, but one of whom has sort of faded into history and the other one who's on the ascendant.
One thing I notice, if nothing else, is that even monochromatically it blends in with its surroundings. It's not colorful, but it matches the surroundings of the pleats and the glass that
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go up these stairs. In the building, there are two means of movement. One is an elevator, which goes through, there are three floors to the building, and then there's the central staircase that does go throughout the entire building. As you can see, it's sort of like walking up a sculpture. It's so beautiful, I think, with its the rail. This is a black Corian, and there's lighting underneath it. But what's also important from our standpoint is that the stair doesn't intrude in the gallery space. It's an element unto itself, a very strong element, but it's not intrusive, which is important. So here we're in a kind of mezzanine gallery with two artists, young artists from Asia. And at the western end of the gallery, we're now looking down into this open space where we just were. We're looking at the geodesic dome from higher up. And here again, you get a great view of the synergy between the street life of Grand River, on Grand River, and the life of the museum. We look out on the people walking by. You can see tens of people right now walking by the museum. And from certain angles, they can look in at us as well. So you've got this back and forth. It's the museum as fully engage with the life of the city, not the museum as removed or hidden, but fully engaged.
By way of explanation, one of the pieces in this gallery is a video presentation, so we're hearing some audio from that in the mm-hmm. background while we talk.
That's right. This art piece by a young Chinese artist, Chen Chulin, contains suspended bodies that are made of paper mache that reflect on her hometown, which was destroyed in earthquakes in China a few years ago. And the video is of a young couple getting married in the midst of all the destruction. So it's quite a nice combination there of destruction and hope. And we're standing in front of one of my favorite pieces. It's a boat, essentially, made of salt. 2 tons of Vietnamese salt that was placed in an armature several weeks ago and pounded heavily and remained in this armature, which just came off last week, and it's been sitting now resting. But it's by, as I say, a Vietnamese artist, and it's a reflection on the boat people in the late 70s who left Vietnam after the war. It's quite a magnificent presence, I think. We're walking now into the largest gallery in the museum, in which we have a video art exhibition, so you'll hear noise as well, sound coming from these videos. There are 12 videos representing 12 different countries. As I said, a central part of our mission, our program mission here, is to present art and cultural production from around the world. We have more than 20 countries represented in the opening exhibitions. Here we're looking at art from Korea, China, Iran, amazingly, Palestine, the United States, and so forth. But this is these videos are placed in an architectural environment, which is temporarily part of this larger architectural environment, and it's the largest space we have. It's about 5,000 square feet, and in the future, it's going to be used in multiple ways. You know, there'll be all manner of artworks in here in the future, but right now we have these video screens, which are arranged sort of like a maze, a combination between a maze and an arcade. It'll be fun for people to see, I hope.
Video art has become increasingly a major means of expression for artists in recent decades.
It has. I think, and this is partly an homage to the father of video art, so-called Nam June Paik, a Korean artist who died a few years ago. I mean, he was a very, very forward-thinking guy, but he had no idea, really, how dominant video would become, not only in art, but also in our world. I mean, Times Square, downtown Shanghai, downtown Seoul, these are video cities, the videopolis, really. Video is so much everywhere. And again, at the western end of this gallery, we're now looking out. We're looking out on the workers who are setting up the tents and the outdoor situation where the dedication will be and the dinners and so forth. So, the life of the world outside the museum goes on, and we participate in it when we're in the museum, which I think is really quite important and wonderful and a real expression of who we are and who we want to be.
I have a question about being on the west end of the building in contrast to the east end in the morning hours and the natural light, as we discussed earlier, because we'll get natural light here later in the day, I assume, but the walls and the glass are slanted away from us as opposed to towards us as it is on the other end. And so the lighting will be different in the afternoon at this end in comparison to the mornings at the other end.
We do get pretty intense light around sunset time, there's no question. But it's also quite beautiful. But, and you know, we've allowed for that because in this room we're showing video art, which needs darkness. But really, even with intense afternoon light, the video images are highly visible. And here we have another overhang, if you will. You get another view of this geodesic dome looking down into this atrium area. So at any given time in the museum, your eye is just treated to a cacophony of images and sounds and visual stimulations. You're not locked into a white cube or a black cube. Your eye is constantly engaged because the museum is so open. There are so many open spaces. That's why I don't like to talk about exact number of galleries, because the spaces are so fluid and they breathe in and out of one another that, you know, in some ways there are 8 galleries. Well, there are also 12 galleries or 13 galleries, depending on how you think about it. Mm-hmm. Well, we're walking through the video gallery toward another overhang which looks down into the cafe and out into those public spaces and sculpture garden that we spoke of earlier. And here again, you get an extraordinary view through these towering windows out onto the gardens and again out into the life of the street on Grand River, which I can't stress enough is so important to us, that the life of the museum and the life of the street are so intimately bound and connected. So here we're stepping out of the elevator on the lower level. And as we step out of the elevator, you can see the bottom of the staircase, the signature staircase. And here you get probably the best view of this sculptural element in the building, where the staircase really looks suspended in midair. It's quite amazing. And at the foot of the staircase is our storage facility, which is fronted completely by glass. so that people can look into the storage facility. They can't go in because, just, you know, there's millions of dollars probably of precious artwork, but we will be curating little exhibitions in the front racks of the storage area, but you can look in and see the depth of what we have. You know, most museums, 98% of what they have is hidden away in storage areas, and the same is true for us. And we have so many significant works that half of them will remain in the Kresge Art Center. We're retaining half of the old space for storage purposes, and the other half will be here, but people can have this very visual experience of behind the scenes. And also down here is another gallery. It's the media gallery. It's called the New Media Gallery now, and we do indeed have a really wonderful 3D film playing. It's only a 3 or 4 minute film, but it's about the history of human evolution. And there's the 3D glasses and so forth. But the gallery in the future will be used for many things. You know, we're going to be having dance and music in here and performance. And so it's going to be very alive with all different forms of contemporary art, not just media. But for the opening, we have this really special, fun 3D film.
Well, you have a magnificent building here. Thank you so much for showing me around.
Sure, my pleasure. It's, you know, it's become a great joy for me to show people around because I love the building and I love what we're trying to do with it. And it's a great opportunity for me as well.
All right.